Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach. On your gourmet meal for the mind menu today, let's see, you don't care about the birther issues, so because that's only important to people who actually care about the Constitution. I'm just making a point, don't get excited, but something is developing on that front you might find interesting. Let's see, you know, I keep getting reports that Iran is developing terrorist training camps in Venezuela, with the full cooperation of Chavez, of course. Rumors that Obama is privy to developments of plans to attack the United States from Mexico, that he intends to use such an attack as a pretext to suspend elections if it appears they are going against him. Oh, wow. That a real coup is shaping up in America. And now CNN and that crowd is reporting the chatter, at least, about Iran possibly attacking the United States on United States soil is legitimate news, huh? I'm trying to get to the bottom of the claim that we have 3.65 billion barrels of oil available, accessible to us in what is called the Bakken Formation, B-A-K-K-E-N, I assume it's Bakken, here in the U.S. of A, that would put us in a position to take control of the world oil market, end the economic malaise, and virtually wipe out the radical Muslim world by eliminating its primary source of funding. And thinking of primaries, I should address the primal instinct on display in the current primary, a very primal primary, har har. Oh, and Obama's latest paternal lecture to Congress about keeping his delusion that the economy is in recovery alive. Unreal. You know, figures don't lie, but liars figure. And when you get past all the feints and dodges, you discover the economy's bordering on collapse under this president's failed fiscal policies. Anyway, sadly, we have two very pressing and disturbing issues I must confront. One local and one statewide that eclipses these other concerns. So, as I massage your brain on each of these topics, sparkling shafts of insight will illumine the darkness. My friends, it is time for your brain massage.
Truth, served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
In the beginning, sounds rather biblical, in the beginning of the controversy over Obama's constitutional eligibility to hold the office of president, I said I would not simply turn my attention away from this and let it go, as so many have encouraged me to do so. And that's simply because I care about the Constitution. It has nothing to do with my concerns about Obama, quite frankly. I care about the issue about whether any man, including the president, is above the law. Remember Nixon? I voted for him, but agreed that he should have resigned because he participated in a cover-up that was contrary to law. And as the libs back then said over and over and over ad nauseum, no one is above the law, you know, unless it's a Democrat president, since there aren't any Democratic ones anymore. You think about it. When Clinton was impeached for perjury and obstruction of justice, the same, and I mean the very same ones, who cried, no one's above the law, the loudest against Nixon, gave Clinton a pass. Yeah, you know, his wife Hillary led the charge against Nixon anyway. The hypocrisy of the left notwithstanding, no one is above the law. And Obama's obvious effort to defraud the system and usurp the office of president, although it is obvious he is not constitutionally eligible, is a matter for some investigation. However, when he flaunts his arrogance against the law of the land, openly defying our courts and holding them in his contempt, I say no man is above law, including Obama. Anyway, here's the latest in the birther debacle. A court in Georgia has ruled in favor of plaintiffs arguing Obama should not be included on the 2012 ballot in that state on the grounds that he is not eligible to hold the office. Oh, yeah. You see, Obama was subpoenaed to appear in court to answer charges and instructed his attorney to write to the Secretary of State of the great state of Georgia and say, basically, that since the court will not dismiss the case, the White House does. Yeah. The White House dismisses the case. That's essentially what he's saying. Can you believe this guy? The president alleged refuses to honor a legal subpoena of the court of the state of Georgia. And and if you did that, or if I did it, well, we'd be held in contempt of the court, very likely arrested. So as my beloved Dove would say, there you have it. Did you hear the rumor that Iran is planning to attack the U.S. on our own soil? That's probably not a surprise to you. Israel's Minister of Defense recently said in a speech that the November explosion at a rocket test site or missile test site in Iran interrupted a major breakthrough that has occurred in Iran in efforts to develop a missile that could reach us, as in U.S. Ahmadinejad's recent tour of Latin America further solidified Iran and Venezuela's ties, and no one is surprised about their anti-American compact. Rumors have percolated in the intelligence community for some time now that Iran is developing terrorist training bases in Venezuela. Yeah, and more recently, concerns have been expressed about training facilities being operated across our border here with Mexico. Oh, yeah. The Ayatollah is warning his people to prepare for war with America. Yeah, quote, "In light of the realization of the divine promise by Almighty God," and they mean Allah, "the Zionists and the great Satan," and they mean America, "will soon be defeated," end quote. Ayatollah Khamenei, the Iranian supreme leader, is warning his people that war is coming with America. President-elect Barack Hussein Obama wrote a letter to the Iranian leader last month requesting negotiations. Yeah, he's real nice to those folks. In a written directive from Khomeini, he ordered Iranian officials to speak positively about holding nuclear talks with America. He instructed them to encourage Obama and other Western leaders to hope that a negotiated solution to Iran's nuclear emissions is possible. UN nuclear inspectors are falling for this ruse. This week, UN inspectors are reporting that their talks with Iran are, quote, positive, end quote. However, from sources within Iran's guard, that's the Revolutionary Guard, but Khamenei is saying peace, peace out of one side of his wicked mouth. He's directing the guards from the other to speedily complete the Iranian nuclear bomb program. This program intends to create missiles that can be armed with nuclear warheads and delivered to American soil. You see, Khamenei's plan is that once he has developed these devices, then Iran can hold the world hostage while it openly tests a nuclear bomb. Quote, "Letting the world know that Iran has joined the nuclear-armed club and that any confrontation will result in destruction of much of the Western world," end quote. All right, China and North Korea, by the way, are working to facilitate Iran's effort to develop intercontinental ballistic missiles. Well, that's what Israel's Minister of Defense was talking about when he said that they have developed a missile with a range of 6,000 miles. That's a range that can reach the Great Satan. Yeah, Uncle Sam. But get this. The Iranian guards are arming various vessels that could easily approach our coast with ballistic missiles. And I'm being told they have already placed some of these into the Atlantic Ocean. Yeah, right off the Gulf of Mexico. I understand that these vessels, in less than 60 seconds, could fire a ballistic missile armed with a nuclear payload and, quote, "detonate it over the United States skies in an electromagnetic attack that would plunge America back into the 18th century. Now, you've heard of this electromagnetic attack business going on. According to this report, quote, "studies show within just 1 year after such an attack, two-thirds of Americans would cease to exist and the rest would live under dire conditions," end quote. Wow. What is going on here? SEPA Online. Now, SEPA, by the way, is short for, I probably won't pronounce it exactly right, but SEPAI, that's the word army in Arabic. Pasdarani, and that's Guardians, Inqilabi, Revolution, Islami, Islam, or the Revolutionary Guard protecting the Islamic regime or the Islamic system. And this Revolutionary Guard is the army of Iran that is charged with the job of protecting the Islamic system from any internal or external threats. In other words, it's Khamenei's Gestapo, from what I can gather. SEPA Online is a site where intelligence is gathered from sources from within this army that are shared with the world community. And from that online source, I quote, "sources within the guards reports that Afghanistan will soon witness an increase in terrorist activities against U.S. forces. The guards not only are training Taliban fighters in Iran close to the Afghan border, but are shipping armaments to forces in Afghanistan with an order to create instability by harming U.S. forces and destabilizing the Afghan government," end quote. And that from WND. And of course, lately we hear Obama telling us we're going to pull out of Afghanistan. I think he said next year. Whose side is he on? The point of the exercise of going into the Middle East was, one, to keep the terrorist groups so busy covering their rear ends over there, they would be unable to formulate a workable plan to hit us here again. Two, to establish a sufficient presence there so that political leaders there would be wary about encouraging or looking the other way, while terrorist groups worked within their borders to launch such an attack on America again, and three, hopefully to give the region a taste of liberty that would encourage them to move away from their addiction to oppression and embrace the ways of liberty. Now, by withdrawing in this wholesale manner, in this abrupt wholesale manner, we are turning our victories into losses and undermining our national security. That's my opinion. What's yours? I've addressed the prophetic implications of what's going down in Iran, and all I can say to that in this show is that you ought to study Daniel 7 and note the rise of the four beasts begins with the lion, the one that has the wings of an eagle, that stands up on its back legs, loses the wings, has the wings plucked off, and then receives the heart of a man. See, a transformation is occurring in that land right now. Daniel's talking about the area of Iraq, by the way, which is represented by that lion, the geography of ancient Babylon. And the second beast to rise following is a bear, which represents Persia and her allies, Russia and China. You need to pay attention to these developments, my friend. Okay, what's next here? Oh, yeah. This email keeps circulating about us having, it says, 3.65 billion barrels of oil in quote, Devonian Mississippian Bakken Formation, with Williston Basin Province, Montana, and North Dakota. I've got a map in front of me, otherwise I wouldn't know what in the world they're talking about. I don't know a whole lot about this Devonian thing, but I am aware that ANWR, that's the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, holds enough oil to wean us off dependence on Muslim oil, and that together with what we have available in the Gulf would put us in control of the world oil market, which would, of course, totally destroy all the efforts of our enemies to destroy us. It has become a matter of national security, my friend, that we throw off these environmentalist wackos who are strangling our economy and exposing us to a national threat. But anyway, about this email that keeps circulating and telling us we have 3.65 billion of barrels of oil available in the Bakken Formation. I've done some research into this, and look, the reason many people are hesitant to buy into it is because of statements like this from the USGS, that's the United States Geologic Survey. After giving us all the interesting information about the billions of barrels of oil that are accessible in this formation, etc., 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 I read, quote, at the time of this assessment, only a limited number of wells have produced from the Bakken continuous reservoir in the Central Basin, Poplar Dome, AU, whatever all that's about, the Eastern Expulsion Threshold, AU, and the Northwest Expulsion Threshold, AU. Therefore, and here's the point I want to get to, there is significant geologic uncertainty in these estimates, which is reflected in the range of estimates for oil, end quote. Now, I don't doubt these assessments are legitimate and that there is a great deal of oil available in this formation, but as long as there remains, quote, uncertainty, end quote, about accessing it and the actual levels, well, it's going to continue to garner limited attention. And I object to people throwing these things out there as facts when they are still in question. Now, on the question of oil, however, it's going to continue to be a mainstay of economics right on into the end of the world. Oh, yeah. According to Bible prophecy, during the third stage of the rise of Antichrist, the economic policy will be, quote, hurt not the oil and the wine, end quote, Revelation 6:6. Now, by the way, it is possible this expression, the oil and the wine, can be an allusion to riches in a generic way of speaking. And by the way, the word that is translated oil here refers particularly to olive oil and not to crude oil. However, slow down. Let the expert help you out a bit here. The Greek offers only one word for oil, although that word, I mean, as it's found in the Bible, although that word literally refers to what is beaten from olives, it is used to identify all oil. The Hebrew, on the other hand, has something like, I think it's four or five different words that are all translated oil. The one used in Joel's prophecy is the one that is a generic word for oil that could apply to anything that is oil. Another word is used when olive oil is particularly in view. I think it's shemen. The word used in Joel's prophecy is yitzah. And Joel's prophecy happens to be parallel to the prophecy of Revelation 6. And it refers to oil used to power lamps. So it's reasonable to apply the word used in Revelation 6:6 to oil used for energy today. So there. Anyway, I say oil will continue to be a driving force in the world economy right on up to the return of the King of Kings. And for the immediate future, we need to aggressively develop our own oil resources, take control of the world oil market, make thousands of jobs for our own people, quit sending billions of dollars to Brazil to help them exploit their oil, and here, release the powerful engine of American enterprise to take advantage of new technology that would allow us to exponentially increase the amount of oil accessible today and to do it cleanly and in an environmentally friendly way. I think we should just let her rip. Nothing will do more to turn our economy around and strategically undermine the ability of the radicals in countries like Iran to wage war on us, like America moving aggressively into the oil market at full strength. I mean, just like Reagan brought down the Soviet Union by revving up America's economic engine and letting it go, we can bring down the Islamic Empire within 10 short years if we will just let our own people develop their own oil. Hey, by the way, good news. I hope that by next week, I'll be able to start taking calls as they come in when my show airs, at least on Saturdays, probably not Sundays. I'm excited about this. Today, you'll have to leave a message on our listener response hotline, but Lord willing, next week, I'll begin taking calls as they come in when the show is aired. Now, because I'm busy with church on Sunday, it'll only be for the Saturday morning and afternoon airing of the broadcast, but hey, looking forward to hearing from you. I'll be right back.
Church is not the place to be trolling for chicks, and it's not a talent show for rockers. So if you want a rock concert, call Ticketmasters. But if you're looking for a church that takes the Lordship of Jesus seriously, and you can endure sound doctrine proclaimed straight from the Bible with the preaching that tells it like it is, without fear or compromise, come to the Lighthouse, where we are shining the light of God's truth to help families safely navigate through the moral storms of our day. Call 347-9887 for more information.
Enjoying your brain massage experience? Do you wish everyone could? Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. The Brain Massage Show radiates the mind with truth, releasing thought antibodies that attack and destroy lies. Stay tuned. The Brain Masseur is ready to massage your brain.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, Brain Masseur, and Paul Revere's Lantern Lighter here, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Okay, I announced the specials on our board for the gourmet meal for the mind today. Included a few items we didn't get to yet, so I'm going to deliver on these, and then we'll go on with the conclusion of the show today. I finished the first segment by presenting my plan for defeating the jihad Muslim threat. Just compromise its chief source of revenue, oil. We have more oil than all the desert sheiks put together. We all know it. So let's break the throttle hold of the eco-terrorists off our throats and develop our oil resources more aggressively, and then move aggressively into the world market and take the lead. That will break the back of the Muslim oil racket by drying up their primary source of revenue. And at the same time, it will fire up the engine of American industry, and we'll have a 50 to a 100 years run of amazing prosperity for our people. And the relief of the oil-dependent free world, by the way. Now, speaking of primaries. I have criticized Romney very severely for using deceptive twists on certain historical facts about Newt to unfairly, disingenuously, and downright dishonestly mischaracterize him. So, I owe it to my friends who support Romney and get irritated with me every time I speak to what I believe are serious shortcomings in his political character, to make it very clear that I don't like this sort of thing when it's done by anyone. It is no less despicable when Newt does it, and he has engaged in the same nasty behavior. This business about Romney denying kosher food to Holocaust survivors is bogus bunk. Makes me sick to my stomach. Now, I've been watching this develop between these guys, and I must say that, yeah, Romney started it. But I want to know who's going to finish it. Who's going to man up and stop this nonsense? It is not gratuitous mudslinging for one candidate to point out factual missteps of this or that other candidate, but to purposely twist a story in order to make it imply something that is patently untrue is cowardly. It's just downright nasty. And Newt has a nasty side to him that is very unbecoming. And Romney has a rotten side to him that is equally unbecoming of gentlemen. I pointed out the common denominators Romney shares with President-elect Obama. And by the way, even Soros has said that Romney is practically a carbon copy of Obama. He didn't put it in those exact words, but he said they're basically the same. And who'd have thought, finally, there's something Soros said I agree with. But we'll have to point out that Romney also shares a common denominator with Newt. It's nastiness. I'm done with both of them. Newt said the Florida primary has made it a two-man race. I agree. It's down to Rick Santorum and Ron Paul, as far as I'm concerned now. for some closer-to-home issues that I can't ignore. First, my deepest sympathies to the friends and loved ones of the officer who was shot and the officer who shot him. Yeah, I know, it's bizarre. One of our finest was outed for having sex with a minor, and when he was being arrested, he pulled his weapon. I understand his fellow officer was sent to take care of the rest, a friend of his, and that he responded by firing on his friend and killing him. I guess the guy was not wearing his vest, something. Yeah, this is very sad. I don't know. It's a weird, was it a weird kind of suicide or something? What is this? The entire city is mourning over this, and rightfully so. Listen, sometimes things take place that forcefully, that force upon our mind the reality that the wages of sin is death. You know, hey, this officer was not the only guy in our city who was committing fornication or adultery. And furthermore, he's not the only one violating the barrier our culture has placed between adults and children to protect our children from being exploited sexually by adults. But let every one of you out there fooling around with this sort of sin, you'd better repent and shake loose right now. Because I'm telling you, it's going to take you farther than you intended to go. Your sin is going to keep you longer than you want to stay. And hey, it's going to cost you more than you'll want to pay. You know, you might find pleasure in sin for a season, but harvest day, payday someday, one preacher put it that way. It's payday someday. And that momentary pleasure will be long forgotten in the pain that follows. Let this disturbing news be a warning to you. Finally, and I'm going to address this in my pulpit on Sunday night at 6 p.m. But finally, I need to speak to the deeply disturbing news of that teacher who tricked kids into playing a so-called game. We assume that of tie-up or something foolish like that. And he took pictures of them tied up in their seats. And then we have reason to believe he fed them spoons full of his own semen. Oh, God, help us. I'll read this from one of the, there are several articles out there on this, but I'll just quote, Los Angeles Unified School District Superintendent John Deasy confirmed with Fox 11 News that he has seen some of the more than 400 photos of teacher Mark Burnt allegedly spoon-feeding his semen to blindfolded and gagged students, some with cockroaches on their faces, end quote. What kind of pervert is this? And yet the deeper question is how can this kind of outrageous evil get to our kids? How does it get to our children? You might be asking, why does God allow such evil to touch innocent children? You know, it's funny how quickly people run to blame God when evil touches our lives, but totally forget him otherwise. It's interesting, isn't it? But attempting to unravel the problem of evil involves us in a field of inquiry called theodicy, and that's the philosophical theological arguments that attempt to reconcile the character of God with the fact of evil in the world. Now, most of my listeners self-identify as Christians and are sufficiently familiar with the Bible to know that Jesus taught us to pray, quote, deliver us from evil, end quote. And you might also be aware that Jesus specifically prayed for his own to be, quote, kept from the evil, end quote, that is in the world. That's John 17:15, by the way. Quote, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil, end quote. What you might not be aware of is the fact that God creates evil. Yeah, you can look at Isaiah 45, verse 7 for that one. Quote, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things, end quote. What? You see, the problem is that we have mistakenly equated evil with sin. We've cast them in a one-to-one relationship so that we think sin when we say evil. But these are different, though connected things. Sin is defined in the Bible as the transgression of the law. Evil is what happens when sin enters into the world. Evil is the divine check against sin. It is the established consequence of anything entering into God's creation that is contrary to the nature of the Creator. Or in other words, if God is perfect, then of course anything contrary to God is not. If God is good, then whatever is contrary to him is bad. In a similar way that it is true in virtually every natural system in the physical world, It's also true in this matter of evil. Now look, if something contrary to the nature of a system is interjected into that system, it necessarily is destructive to that system. If what is contrary to God enters into God's system, or creation in this case, it brings destruction into the system. Consequently, evil is the necessary, natural, and inevitable result of sin. But then we come to a deeper question when we attempt to discuss the fact that evil touches innocent people, especially innocent children. And of course, here I'm running out of time for this show, but I will be addressing this thoroughly in my Sunday evening message in my pulpit at Lighthouse Baptist Church, and you need to be there. We're going to begin with a prayer meeting, which we will pray together for the families who have been touched by this horrible evil, this terrible man, and we'll discuss how such things happen and what you need to do to protect your family from such evil. But to conclude, consider, while the wicked use such situations to rail against God and against those who believe in God, they need to be told in no uncertain tone what happened to those children was not God's will, but it happened precisely because someone violated God's will. Sin is what brought this into the lives of these children. Now, the question of whose sin, well, of course, we begin with the sin of Mark Burnt. But another question arises. What opened the gates of hell and allowed such a devil to touch the lives of innocent children? And how could it have gone so long before the evil was exposed? Now, I've got to conclude, but I feel badly for those 11,900 listeners who get this via my podcast and from far away and will not be able to attend our service this Sunday. So I'll tell you what. You call our listener response hotline, mention this show, number 351. Just mention show 351. Leave your address or a contact phone number. We'll get in touch with you and arrange to have a CD, an audio CD of the message sent to you. Or if you prefer, I'll send you a video DVD of the message, but I'll have to ask for a donation of at least $10 for the DVD. And by the way, that's right. We're now equipped to video our services. Anyway, as Christ's ambassador, I challenge you with a question and retort to the challenge some lay at God's feet. And I ask, why didn't we stop it? I'll explain that more thoroughly in my message, and you're going to find it fascinating, I guarantee you. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch, and now you let me know if you see that they are on. You say lights on if you see that they're on, and you will ride like Revere and spread the warning. Essentially, it means you agree with me, and you agree with what I'm saying, and you want to help me get the message out there. Or you could say lights off, which means you reject what I'm saying and disagree strongly with me. So what will it be today, lights on or lights off? Call 1-888-770-8000. That is 1-888-770-8000. Leave a message on our listener response hotline. It's a free call to anyone within the continental United States. From outside the country or those who prefer it, you can email me by going to our website, clicking on the Contact Us button, and you can find our website at thebrainmassageshow.com. That's thebrainmassageshow.com. If you're a hurry, you can just click on the lights on or lights off button and then say send. Or you can call 1-888-770-8000, say lights on and hang up, or say lights off and hang up. Otherwise, leave a message for me and let me hear what you think about the show or what your thoughts are on these topics, positive or negative. Either way, I want to hear from you. God bless you. God save America. I'll see you in church.
Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com for an archive of great brain massage shows that you can download and distribute to others free of charge. If you want to give us a gift to help with broadcasting costs, go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and click on the donate button, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. For a complete brain massage experience, tune in Saturdays at 7:30 a.m. and go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com. The Brain Masseur is preparing to massage your brain